Listen to my language. Nobody knows how to speak in tongue, but people speak in tongue. But nobody knows how to speak because you don't learn it. If you are not in the spirit, you cannot pray in the spirit. You cannot be operating in the flesh and pray in the spirit. The idea of everybody stand up and let's pray in the spirit. Everybody stands up. That is a carnal prayer. Nothing spiritual in it, because everybody cannot speak in tongue. And speaking in tongue cannot be willed. Writing on the wall, it was a sign.
When you are saved, forever you are saved. Everything we receive from God is by faith.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Spirit of delusion.
They told you it doesn't matter. It matters. There is yet another day that is His mercy is still available.
The trials of the Christian.
Christians face trials.
The God of this world cannot be our God, because we are in this world, but not of this world.
Luke chapter 11. Are we there? Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Are we ready? And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. May the Lord have blessed the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated for a few minutes. That's part 3 of the sermon topic, how to pray. We come here every Friday night. And this has been going in this ministry for the past 15 years. This church started. Jesus started with prayers and ended with prayers. This ministry started with prayers. And we will continue to pray, and we will end with prayer. And the last prayer that we shall have in this ministry is, Lord, I'm coming home. At the last trump, when the rapture will strike, receive me, O Lord, I'm coming home. And if we believe in prayers, listen, church, the Holy Ghost told me when I was praying, me, what is that? Sabi pray, where? That Thursday morning. He said, you are not praying. This is not how to pray. Last Sunday, we tried to move forward. We particularly looked at in Matthew chapter 6 from verse 5 down to 13, where Jesus, amen. Where, you know, I also said something. Why this scripture is important, Luke chapter 11. Remember that in Matthew chapter 17, that the disciples all day were doing deliverance on a young child that was possessed, but could not cast the spirit out. And then the child was brought to Jesus Christ, and just at one word, the demon left. And that is important. We pick a lesson from there. And they asked Jesus, the disciples asked him, why couldn't we cast that spirit out? And Jesus Christ told them, one, because of your unbelief, but more importantly, he said that, how be it, no matter what faith you have, no matter how much you believe, how be it, this type cannot go except by fasting and prayer. Therefore, we are not surprised that the disciples now saw Jesus Christ praying. They may have been praying too. They have been praying, of course. But here I see, telling them that this one cannot go except by fasting and praying. So they'll be wondering, which type of prayer will they pray? When past the one, what will they pray? Amen. And I told you that day, when I'm preaching, I deliberately make some statements to provoke your attention. And I know what to say to a Christian to provoke his attention, her attention. Very easy. When you tear down the doctrine of their church, anytime you say there are churches that they respect so much that they are wrong, you will say, huh? You go wake up. So you see, I don't paint my own. I will say it hard. Why I say it? So that you will, your attention will come. Why? Amen. Now, I say so. One church that is known for prayers very well is Mountain of Fire. But I am telling you, according to the teachings of Jesus Christ, Mountain of Fire, their pattern of prayer is wrong. So that you go listen to me very well. Now talk and so. And if you get angry because I mentioned that name, the name of your church, that is an evidence you are not a Christian. Idolatry. If I speak against your church, if I speak against Jesus, nothing will happen. But if I speak against your church, mention the name of your pastor, you'll be ready to kill. You are an idolater. Listen, church. Amen. What I'm teaching you is for your own benefit. And so many people around the world, they are listening to me. In the live broadcast we have now, they are watching us, they are hearing us. And so many of them have been blessed by our teaching. Until a woman called me from Adamawa, she didn't even know she was talking to me. She saw the number maybe and just said, bless Pastor Moses for what he has done, for this, for that. He said, in fact, when she born her pikin that she's expecting, she's going to name the child Alu. Then I told her, Nami, they talk to so is Pastor Alu. He said, ah! And began to bless me. They are getting blessed that there is somebody that can tell them the truth. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, especially our Anglican and our Catholic brethren. Hallelujah. The answer that Jesus Christ gave to them when they asked him in Luke chapter 11 is in Matthew chapter 6 from verse 5. Jesus Christ began to tell us how we should pray. But the important thing there is, after he told us how we should comport ourselves, how we should pray in secret, how we should not pray like the hypocrites, how we should not repeat prayers and begin to, you know, this vain repetition. It's vain repetition, not the order of the day in prayer assemblies. Eh? When I got home on Sunday, the children in my house, they were telling me, I never see them well, now I know if you tell what thing happened. He said, I wish one of them is here to do them for me. He said, when they were in school, they were in joining Mountain of Fire. He said, pray that this will happen. Pray that this will happen. They call it prayer point. And the next thing is, you are hearing, die. Who go die? We don't know. Whether na you go die, yo, na she go die, yo. Who they die? All is here is die. Face your neighbor. Face your neighbor. Anything. When you go stop your neighbor from making it this year, what do you say? Die. And then, the more you shake your head, maybe the more the prayer will be answered. And the Bible calls it vain repetition. Now pray about it. Call prayer for you to go and pray. Fasting, try fasting. Time to pray. Then you stand up.
What do you want to pray for? And you look at the list.
Now pray about it. What are you saying? Vain repetition. Say Hail Mary 70 times. Our Lord or something, Lord prayer 20 times. Over what? Over the problem. Our Father. Now, Jesus Christ came in Matthew chapter 5. He said, pray like this. And he said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then you will come to church. And now it's time for prayer. Can we stand up and pray? Then, can we say our Lord's Prayer? To them, that is our Lord's Prayer. Prayer that our Lord himself said, this is how we should pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed. Meanwhile, the thing where they worry you, your business don't scatter. You don't know what is happening. Your market sit down there for long. You know, green cell. When money enter, praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A young girl was giving me her testimony that she would sell 100 and something thousand naira in her shop. She wants to go and stock. She was just discovered in her dream 20,000 naira. But I sold more than this and I want to stock back the shop. She said 20,000, 25,000. She was so confused. She didn't know what to do. But she has our channel, the TV, installed it in her shop. Tuesday, Sheila was going on. So she decided to take the water and then bless the water. The prayer point we prayed. There's a prayer point we gave. The Lord, expose all any hidden thing around me. And then she took that prayer point, took the water, placed it on the screen as we told the viewers to do. While the service was going on here, she was not alone. The other person was there and witnessed it. They were all witnessed. Suddenly, some items in the shelf fell down. And she said, was there a vibration? Well, let's continue prayer. Small time, a shelf, for you to know that it is God, the shelf has items, the ones that are behind, not the ones in front. The ones behind, they were the ones that were falling down. That is, I think something lifted and was falling it down. And she got so scared, she said, this is, not the, that is when she now took that water, Holy Ghost, oh yeah, begin to sprinkle around the whole shop. Praise the Lord. After that day, suddenly now, amen, in a day, 100 and something thousand. The next time, now she will pack market. She used to go to market once in a week because only 20,000 she will get. Now, four times, three, almost every day she has to go and stock back after sprinkling that water. When God exposed that. Okay, if we had given prayer points, stand there and pray our Lord's Prayer in that shop. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Whether that can cure headache, whether that can bring back a dead man to life, whether that can stop your child's convulsion, whether that can cast out a demon, our Lord's Prayer. Somebody is possessed, then bring her, a madman, bring her. Open your Bible. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. And we told you what the Lord Jesus Christ meant. He was giving us a pattern of
prayer. We try to let you know the hindrances to prayer. The hindrances to prayer. Number one hindrance that we looked at. Number one, and it's very, very important, because that is something that most people are guilty of. Some will receive testimonies and others will not receive testimony. There are about four of them or five of them. Five of them. I gave you four. I forgot one on Sunday. There are actually five. I gave you four. The first one we mentioned was coming before the Lord empty-handed. Coming before the Lord empty-handed. Exodus chapter 23, verse 15. Write it down. And Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16. He said, when you come before the Lord, he said, don't come empty-handed. He said, don't come empty-handed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, there is something I have always, I was sharing with Pastor Thomas during the week. When you study the scriptures and you look at how God was working with his children in the olden days, in the days of Noah, Enoch, in the days of Abraham, and even in the days of Jacob, before the law was given, there's something that I observe. That those people were so filled with God's presence, leadership, until without the law, things that have been made, some of those things that have been made a law to the Jews, they were things that without the law, that those patriarchs were observing. You see, take for instance, praise the Lord, Abraham met Melchizedek on the way. And the Bible says he paid tithes to him. Who told Abraham about tithes? He was not under the law. So when somebody said, ask me, that tithe is law, it's only law, that we're in grace, there is no tithe. I said, was Abraham under any law? No, he was under grace. And without law, he was paying tithe. Who taught him? Later on, tithe became a law. And I was trying to look at another scripture. I think in Exodus chapter 38. Yes. In Exodus chapter 38, there's one of the children of Judah by the name of Onan. His brother died without married and died without having a child before he died. Many of us know that story. And then Judah now called his son Onan to go into his brother's wife so that she can be pregnant and bear a child that his name will not, you know, be written off. And we know what Onan did. Instead of passing seed, when it was time to pass it on the woman, he came and spilled the seed outside of the woman. And the Bible said, God was angry. It was not God that told Onan to do it. It was Jacob that told, Judah that told Onan to do it, his son. But the Bible said, God was angry with that action and killed him. It was not until in Deuteronomy chapter 25 that we begin to see it as a law. When your brother dies without a child, that the relation of that brother that died will take the wife and raise seed unto the name of that man that is dead. Before it became law. Now, you realize that Abraham, the father of faith, at the slightest opportunity, he will go before the Lord and raise an altar and put burnt offerings. He will bring his
animals, slaughter them for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And watch, each time they do that, they want to inquire for the Lord. They want to come before the Lord. They will always come with something, an animal. Kill it, put an altar and burn it, and the smoke will go to heaven. And before you know what, the angel of the Lord will come down. Who gave them that law? By inspiration, they get to know that. So we see in Exodus 23, before you come, when you come before the Lord, he mentioned it as a law. He said, don't come empty-handed. It is a big hindrance to prayers. And they were practicing it. Let's see one or two scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 9. First Samuel, chapter 9. Amen. Hallelujah. Just for the purpose of clarification, let me read it from verse 1. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zerah, the son of Bechorath, the son of Abiel, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upwards, he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, that's where I am going, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take note of us. I said unto him, behold now, there is in this city a man of God. Somebody shout, a man of God. Say very loud. And he is an honorable man. All that he said cometh surely to pass. Now, let us go, Peter. Peradventure, he can show us our way that we should go. Then says Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring to the man? That is my emphasis. See, spiritual people. He got advice that they should go down there to see that man. But the first thing, when you take off to go and meet any man, anywhere at all, the first thing you are going to inquire of the Lord. Because it is not the man, it is God you are going to approach. Saul said, but how can we go? Let me read it again. Then Saul said to his servant, verse 7. But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. You see? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Go to 1 Kings again, chapter 14. First King, chapter 14. And it's good that I emphasize this. Chapter 14. Amen. Verse 1, 2, 3.
At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. King Jeroboam, his son, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam. And get to the Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, which told me that I should be king over these people. And take with thee," you see, it's not to go empty-handed. See what the woman is to go with. "And take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey, and go to him. He shall tell thee what shall become of the child." See? Why I emphasize this now, and also emphasized it last Sunday, this particular hindrance, is because a lot of people who come to this ministry, this bride assembly here, have misunderstood the liberality we exercise here. We in our attempt to look different from these money-mongering ministries, and make it look as if it is not needed. It is a principle. And above all, even in this ministry, this is a ministry that has so many gifted brethren, men and women. It is a law. You are going to pray for somebody to pray for you. You are giving the person prayer point because he's a man of God. He's a vessel that God is using, whether it is a man or a woman. Don't go empty-handed. It is just for the Lord. Except if that gift is not from God. If that gift is not from God, then continue. If that gift is not from God, of course, that person even will charge you by himself. Yes, now, he will charge you by himself. But Jesus Christ told us, he said, we should not. He said, freely we have received the gift, and freely we should give. But the same Jesus Christ again said, if anyone shall give a cup of water, amen, to any of these my disciples, in the name of a disciple, that is, because you believe him to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you give him just a cup of water, he said it will not go unrewarded. It's a principle. Anytime you are going to any ministry, any service, any program, make sure, praise God, make sure, as you carry your Bible from your house, so also package your offering and open one page of that Bible and put it there. You are complete going to that service. That is the person that will receive. Amen. Amen. It is a principle. It's a principle. No matter how stingy you are, give something. God will take care of your stinginess later on. But at least you didn't come empty-handed. Amen. You know how you will do it now? With the same measure you give out, the same measure will be given to you. But at least something will be given to you. So important, church. Amen. Don't care. Don't bother how that pastor is using that tithe you are paying. Don't bother how that pastor is using whatever it is. You have done your own. Leave that person with God in that ministry. Praise the Lord. Don't go empty-handed. A lot of people, when it's time for offering, they do it as if they are doing that church a favor by bringing offering. Now, I say when you are coming for prayers, when you are coming to worship God, I don't mean when you are paying a social visit. That's not what I mean. If you are coming to visit me, a social visit to just greet me, you are not obligated to bring anything because you are not coming for me to pray for you. But if you are coming for prayers, it is thus said the Lord. The advantage is so much. Then I also mentioned unforgiveness. I have stayed on it for long. I also mentioned the third one, as disobedience to God's word. And also number four, I said another hindrance, the fourth hindrance, is you praying not according to the will of God. Number five that I speak about is praying, prayer of unbelief. In Mark chapter 11, verse 24, he said, when you stand praying, he said, believe. That is the emphasis. Believe. If you don't believe, then why are you praying? Nobody receives anything that you are not in expectation of. It is what you are expecting that comes to you. If you don't expect it, it will not come. When you pray, the evidence that you are in expectation is you believe. Amen. James chapter 1. Let's read the way James put it. James chapter 1, verse 5, 6, 7, and verse 8. Verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But verse 6, he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8, everybody shall read it. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can never receive anything with a wavering heart. You come, you must believe. Praise the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Fruit of delusion.
They told you it doesn't matter. It matters. There is yet another day that is his mercy is still available.
The trials of a Christian.
Christians face trials.
The God of this world cannot be our God because we are in this world but not of this world.
Types of prayers. Number one, there are different types of prayers. Amen. And I know there are a lot of people that have written books on prayers that may have had more research. I'm not preaching this from any book I read, but from what the Lord granted me understanding. So I expect you to get more as you study books written under inspiration on the topic of prayers. But one, I see quickly three types of prayers. Number one is the private prayers. Private prayers, you alone. That prayer is prayed in the closet. You don't let anybody know you are even praying. Your husband will not know, your wife will not know when you are praying that prayer. Praise God. It is private prayer. The same bed with my wife, and I pray that often, and she will never know I prayed during the night. And yet, in the same room. It's the type of prayer you don't even want people to know. When I notice that at the place, she's a turn, I go come up from that room, go parlor.
Continue my prayers there
without anybody knowing. It is prayed in the closet. All this your midnight prayer that everybody in the compound is hearing you. All of them are in their room there, then they curse you. When they react, you will say they are all possessed. You see, I told you they are all possessed. My prayer, they hit them, hit them. Not with your prayer, they hit them. Now your disturbance, they worry them. That's public disturbance. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can go to the camp. Amen. You can go to the mountain. But even when you go to the camp or you go to the mountain, all these ones that say, I want to go to the mountain. And then you will take off to the mountain. What happened? Get some prayers I want to make. And then you go to the mountain and join a group there. It is no more a private prayer. Most of you that go to the mountain, you are only going to join other mountaineers. It's not private prayer. Nothing, nothing. He said, no, except there is a setting there where you can withdraw from everybody and go and stay in one corner somewhere. Amen. Yes. All those that I have gone to mountain to pray with, all of you that have ever gone with me, say, let's go to the mountain to pray with. There is no time me and you ever stand together to pray until it is time to come back. About they go pray, I'll say, wait, I will go one rock somewhere, stay back somewhere. Pray with one eye open in case any snake may come. Praise the Lord. You know now where you go, the people in the camp, in the mountain there, they have special time. Everybody must come together and pray. So what do you go there, go to? And let me quickly tell you too, church, listen. Yes, it is true that the mountain there is a dedicated for prayer. But I hope you don't have in your mind that when you go to that mountain, that there is something special there, that God will hear you more than if you pray in your room. I hope you know that. There's nothing like that. The true worshippers will worship Him in which mountain? We are in spirit and in truth. When you do that, you are trying to tell us that God dwells specially on that mountain. Let me quickly tell you this thing for your information. Anywhere that people go for prayer, Satan sends his demons there. I am not discouraging you from going there, but I'm telling you, if it is private prayer, I advise you, don't go to a mountain. Go to a camp and get a room. Lock yourself in that room. You alone in that room is more effective than going to any open mountain or rock to pray. And that is what I do. I withdraw. I just go take a room. I'm staying for 3 days. I lock myself. I don't step outside till the 3 days is over. Praise the Lord. That is one type of prayer. Amen. And that type can go with fasting or no fasting. You may fast or you may not fast. It is not compulsory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The purpose of such is for any personal need. You go like that for self-consecration. If it is for self-consecration, it must go with fasting. It must go with fasting. Personal prayers also can be for the reason of waiting on the Lord for a direction. You want to take a decision, but you want the Lord to guide you. You want Him to show you a light. You know, should I not? I want to do this business. I'm putting all my life investment in it. Lord, should I not? Praise the Lord. It is safer like that than to go to a prophet. See, When you go and pray that type of prayer of waiting on the Lord, listen, church. When you go to pray the prayer, personal prayer, waiting on the Lord for a direction concerning anything you want to do, this is how it is done. You will go first by faith and table the matter before the Lord for a number of days that you determine you will wait on Him for. If within that period, a gift that you know you have, that God talks to you, does not activate, God does not talk to you personally there, after that period, you leave. But you don't act on that thing until God speaks. And because you have gone to wait on Him, God is going to choose the best medium that will make you believe. So how He does it, that is when you can come to a church like this and you are just passing and a brother will just see you and say, "Brother, stop. Are you going to any investment? You didn't tell anybody. The Lord told me that that decision you want to take, that you should go ahead, is with you." That is the answer to the waiting on the Lord that you went for. Now you didn't tell anybody. Now He just walks to you. That is God answering you the prayer you may have prayed 1 month ago. That is personal prayer. And it can go. And when you do that, always go with a fast. Always go with a fast. Praise the Lord. And another one, the last one of the private prayer. It's when you are praying, it's a prayer you pray to humble yourself, especially after sin. You have committed a sin that you know you have committed an abomination, and you want to ask the Lord to forgive you. Because first and foremost, He takes your peace away from you, if you're a true child of God. So how will you know He has forgiven you? You are to go into a fast. And it is a type of fast that your flesh will feel it. It is your flesh that made you to fall. So it is time to give it back to the flesh. You fast until a peace comes upon you. When peace comes upon you, then you know it is over. Or you may hear a voice telling you, "Go and sin no more." Praise the Lord. That is, and it must go with fasting, like I said. Remember, self-consecration. Self-consecration is your own way of taming the excesses of the flesh. To put your flesh under and bring your spirit man. You pray that prayer for revival. When you notice you are going down, you go and pray. Now, he said, when you pray that prayer secretly, he said, "He God that seeth in secret rewards you openly." And people who pray that type of private prayer, they are always sorting it out with God. That's the reason why Jesus Christ, in the morning, he will withdraw from his disciples to a mountain somewhere far. Before people wake up, he don't charge himself if they come. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, now, the second type of prayer is the congregational or public prayer. Prayers. The purpose is to jointly ask for a need. Amen. Like when Peter was in jail, the Bible says that the church, they gathered in a particular house and prayer was made without ceasing until Peter was released. So everyone there was one prayer point. What was it? "Lord, let Peter not be killed." Because they had killed James. Now they were coming out for Peter. They didn't pray. James died. Now, and that is the kind of prayer when we begin to see some funny things happening among the congregation, among the members, the church can declare a prayer. That one, you pray together, everybody open your mouth and you pray. Praise the Lord. That was the kind of prayer when death sentence was passed in Persia over the whole of Israel. Mordecai had to go to Esther and they declared a fast, and all of them, everywhere, wherever they were, everybody was crying unto the Lord. Now, this type of prayer is not silent prayer. You open your mouth wide together with everybody and you pray. Praise the Lord. Or it can also be as instructed to members at home. Maybe you say, today, once it is 12 midnight, everybody rise and pray these prayer points. Wherever you are, that type of prayer, the whole family will gather and pray. Family prayers also is part of the congregational prayer. Everybody prays. You don't pray that type of prayer silently. That is a prayer you don't care whether your neighbor is hearing or not. Your neighbor is supposed to know that this is the hour for your family prayer. Praise the Lord. The third type of prayer is the prayer of agreement. The prayer of agreement for where two of you, Matthew 18, verse 19 and verse 20, if two of you shall agree concerning anything, concerning any matter, two people praying together, you know that prayer when you are together, it should not be a silent prayer. Amen. The two of you can decide to come, stand at the altar and pray, stand any corner of the place and pray a prayer of agreement. Praise the Lord. Now there are two things that I also want us to note that Jesus Christ made us to note on how to pray. Something here, because I have seen teachers of faith. Teachers of faith that tell you that once you have prayed a particular prayer, you don't repeat that prayer again. To them, that is the meaning of vain repetition. That is not the meaning of vain repetition. Vain repetition is the one I've explained. Carry one word. That's vain repetition. But that you bring a matter before God and they teach you that once you have prayed that prayer, he said, if you repeat that prayer again, it is faithlessness. That is not faithlessness. And this is the way the Lord Jesus Christ taught us in that Luke chapter 11. Let's open it. Verse 5. From verse 5. And he said unto them, amen. Remember, he was still teaching them how to pray from verse 1 to verse 4. And in verse 5, he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he, as a principal now, from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is not shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though, that is his principle, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. What the Lord Jesus Christ is explaining there is, if it is just because he is his friend, the only reason is his friend, just considering the fact that this is my friend, just it's not enough for somebody to break his principle that once he locks his door, he's not going to wake up again. But the only reason why he will have to give him plenty, even more than he has, he said, it's because of his disturbance. I know if I don't give him, I will not rest. I know him very well. That is the teaching of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I will rise and give him as many as he needed. Praise the Lord. Then verse 9, Jesus added, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. That is waiting on the Lord for direction. You will find that direction. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 18. from verse 1 up to verse 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Avenge me of my adversaries. And he will not, that is the judge, will not for a while. You see? For a while, no answer. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he be along with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? See? So, Christ is teaching us that we should continue troubling heaven until we receive answer. Oh! William Branham was asked, how long am I supposed to pray concerning any matter? What was his answer? He said, continue praying until. He said, until. And he stopped. Until the answer comes. Isaiah 62 concerning Jerusalem. Open Isaiah 62. I love that scripture. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 62. Verse 6 and verse 7. This is, thus said the Lord, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Hey, I'm saying this to somebody here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give God no rest, till he, God, establish, until he make Moses Aaron a praise in the earth. He will not rest. Until my condition change, he will not rest. Amen. We serve a God that answers prayers. Concerning your matter, don't rest. Don't let any pastor of faith tell you just say it and that's all. The evidence you believe is that you are praying. If you don't believe, you will not pray. Those who don't pray is because they don't believe. Where will I go looking for a refuge for my soul? Until he has made me a man of praise, that people will see me and say, ah, your God is real. Ah, your God is real. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why it's supposed to be a part of your life throughout once you're a Christian. And that's why Satan should be afraid of us. Because you know, when you touch us, you know where will they go. Praise the Lord. And finally, for today, you notice that Apostle Paul was teaching also in prayer. And he spoke something in Romans chapter 8. Somebody sent me a text concerning that portion. Praying in the Spirit. Let's open it. Romans chapter 8. Romans. Okay. Romans chapter 8. Verse 26. And verse 27. Verse 26. He said, likewise, the Spirit also helped our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And when you say with groanings, the Spirit of God making intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now you see, if you meet carnal people, church, carnal people giving interpretation to spiritual things, pray in the Spirit. Apostle Paul speaks about praying in the Spirit. And when you say, now the question is, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Before you can understand what is praying in the Spirit, you have to understand John chapter 4, where Jesus said, the true worshippers are worshiping in spirit and in truth. So, how do you worship in the Spirit? Then you will understand how to pray in the Spirit. Because there is praying carnally. There is praying carnally. You can pray carnally. While we are here dancing, some we are dancing carnal dance. Whereas some we are dancing, you know, the condition of your heart shows it. If you are dancing for your neighbor to see the latest dance steps that you know. Now that is a carnal dance. Now, the same dance step that you are dancing, another person can dance that same dance steps, but he is not dancing for any man to see him. That dance becomes a spiritual dance. The same dance that another person dances, and is trying to tell you what he can do. He just learned this latest style, and he's coming to show you. Amen. It's a carnal dance. So also, praying in the Spirit, you can also pray for people to see you. And you can pray a prayer that is concentrating with God. When I stand, I say, everybody, be in the Spirit. What do I mean? I am saying, concentrate and focus on Him before whom we have come. That is the meaning of saying, be in the Spirit. And those of you who are gifted, once you hear the preacher, the pastor, the person who said, please be in the Spirit, you know, if you decide immediately to concentrate on Him, you have a gift that will burst out. But you can be there standing with your eyes closed, and meanwhile, you are not in the Spirit. You are remembering your customer. What is the O? Yes, now. Amen. A sister said, was telling me, he said, because she's always falling under anointing when the spirit of prophecy wants to come. You know, he said she knows the sign. Once she begins to feel, she knows she's going to prophesy. And before she prophesies, she's always falling down. So she said, when she begins to feel the sensation, she's busy. She will take her mind to one party where happened. She will take her mind to somebody where offender. She will take her mind so that the thing will not go. At least she's not in the Spirit. She's not in the Spirit. So you see, but anytime she see it happening, and she says, Lord, have your way. He said, in a second, the thing will hit her. That is how to be in the Spirit. Now, but he said in verse 26, he said, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Amen. For we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. Because it is the Spirit that searches the mind of God to pray that you need. Now, it's for those who have the gift of speaking in tongues. Before you know what, an anointing comes upon you. Blah. And before you know what, you begin to speak in tongue. Praise the Lord. Before you know what, you begin to speak in tongue. And even this one is impersonated. Everybody cannot speak in tongue. Everybody cannot speak in tongue. It's only those who have that gift. Praise the Lord. Now, he said he helps you with groanings that cannot be uttered. Because of that scripture, that is why that carnal person is sitting saying, what the hell we say is the groaning. With the groaning. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray. Now all those who say you will not prosper will die. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say, when that anointing for groaning comes upon you, the first thing it does is a body will come upon you. Your heart becomes so heavy. And then it will be that there must be a problem on you. Until it is so much, until you won't even know how to pray. That is when the mercy of God comes down. The Spirit of God comes down to help you to pray for that problem. That is what happened to Hannah. She was burdened when she went to Shiloh. Every time I will come, my condition, now this is my mate. Now she's not younger because she gets children, I don't have children. And she was at the altar. She was there. What else will she say with a burdened heart like that? So, anointing came upon her and she began to behave until Eli saw her and then was asking, Eli saw her and thought she was drunk. That's the kind of prayer. People will think you are drunk. You just say like that. Your mouth is just shaking. Tears are coming out of your eyes. What are you saying? You yourself, you don't know what you are saying. That is the spirit now takes over. And prays exactly what the mind of God is concerning that matter. And when you reach that realm, when you come out of it, the answer is sure. That is pray. The idea of everybody stand up and let's pray in the spirit. Everybody stands up. That is a carnal prayer. Nothing spiritual in it because everybody cannot speak in tongues. And speaking in tongues cannot be willed. It cannot be willed. You cannot decide and say, please let me speak in tongues for 30 minutes. It is as the Spirit gives utterance. And the Spirit will give utterance when there is a need for it. It's not for show off. Where you are speaking in tongues, and then I am given my PA sign to give me a handkerchief to wipe my face. Which spirit? Then you tell your wife, honey, hey, since morning I never speak in tongues. Oh, let me go and charge myself small. Oh. You don't charge yourself anything. Now your throat you charge. You're exercising your throat. That's all. Because you'll be speaking now. And you're speaking nonsense. Nothing. Once again. It is only for those who have the gift of speaking in tongue. And because you have that gift. Amen. Once the atmosphere is right. It comes upon you. Or. It's a problem that is going on. The devil wants to come and attack you in your sleep. The Holy Ghost will just wake you. You will wake up speaking in tongues. And you'll be wondering, why am I speaking in tongues? You yourself, you're going to ask, what happened? You will continue. And when he is finished, peace will come upon you. You will lie down again and sleep. Now when you wake up, you go here and say, something happened. Praise the Lord. Somebody, may you receive deliverance in the name of Jesus. No more mumu Christianity. All this doing things because others are doing is Satan impersonating Christianity. The best gift anybody can have for prayers is the gift of speaking in tongues. Oh, I envy those who have that gift. You have that gift to speak in tongues. It helps you. Once you pray, you enter the spirit, not you they pray again. He takes over. And that problem must be solved. Because it is no more you. It is God now praying himself to action. Praise the Lord. Any tongue they teach you, drop it. Drop it and wait for the one for the Holy Ghost. And those of you who have genuine tongue, don't let anybody discourage you from using that gift. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And once you are speaking in tongue like that, other gifts will be activated in you. That is the time vision will break forth. So that you will know what the Spirit is speaking over. What is praying, the condition of that prayer. Since you don't know what he's saying, because they are angelic language. And there are two types of tongues. There is a tongue for worship. And there is the tongue for prophecy. The tongue for prophecy, it can come in any language. A Hausa man can begin to speak Calabar language in giving the message. A Nigerian man can begin to speak French or Arabic to give the message. But it must be a message. While the one for worship will just come upon you and you're just worshiping and worshiping God, but in tongues. That one is no message. So it does not need interpretation. But if it is the one that interprets, there are some, the one you speak in that unknown language, then you will hear, thus said the Lord, in the language that people hearing you can understand. And that is why also there is the gift of interpretation. Somebody else is speaking in tongue, giving a message, and another person is hearing it in his understanding. And in a proper setting, when that person, the first one speaking in tongue, speaks and rattle, when you stop, in a proper setting, that person that heard what he was saying with understanding, we give thus said the Lord in the understanding. And the church will be defined. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 6, 7, 8 says, the bride has made herself.